Greetings once again, pilgrims following the way of Jesus Christ, and in particular lately, the way of the stories of the Old Testament. We have just walked through a beautiful series on 1 Samuel, and we're going to head into two more stories that come from the Old Testament about the people of God, but even more so about two specific characters of those ancient days, Esther and Daniel. And we will begin today by offering an introduction to the book of Esther, and tomorrow we'll begin reading through it together. And I think you're going to enjoy it just as much as you probably did 1 Samuel. It's a wonderful story. It's not necessarily historical truth, but it speaks to a truth of the Jews in the ancient days, in post-exilic Holy Land, after they had been released from exile, the Babylonian exile, released by the Persian Empire, who overturned the Babylonians, released the Jews from exile, and let them come back to Jerusalem, what life would have been like for them during that time. And it's not, of course, that everybody all of a sudden changed their mind about these people and started loving them and respecting them. Of course, that's not how human nature works, as we well know in our own country. But the story of Esther depicts a threatened annihilation of the Jewish people by the Persian Empire. There's a king in this story, Ahasuerus, King Ahasuerus, whose current queen Vashti has been banished from the empire. And a Jewish woman named Esther is selected to be the new queen by King Ahasuerus. Esther has a relative named Mordecai, and Mordecai angers the king's second in command, Haman. And Haman, because he has been angered by Mordecai, plots in revenge to have all the Jews killed. Esther, a Jew who's now the queen, convinces the king to overturn that decree. The Jews experience victory, and the Jewish holiday of Purim becomes established based on this very story. So this story that you're going to hear features characters, many of whom live by a compromised code of ethics. There's the negligent, overindulging King Ahasuerus. There's the egotistical and vengeful second-in-command Haman, who both hold high social and political positions, and whose personal inadequacies have the potential for widespread, disastrous impact in their society. Again, not unlike today. Prejudice, discrimination against the Jews, and others for that matter, is given the royal stamp of approval by the king and his leadership council. But against this backdrop, we have the courage and the morality of characters who, in spite of personal cost to themselves, stand up and resist the wrongdoing and injustice of the king and the empire. Characters like Vashti, Esther, and Mordecai, you'll hear about in this story. One of the challenging aspects of the story of Esther is the violence that it depicts. And this has come up, of course, in our Wednesday evening discussion groups as well. Why all this bloodshed is necessary, and whether the Jews' lives cannot be preserved without the loss of non-Jewish lives. And whether that may or may not be true in history, certainly history would support both sides of that. In this story itself, within the constraints of this story world in which Esther is told, there are very few narrative options other than violence for violence. The thing we must be careful not to do, in any case in the Old Testament, is to allow the narrative violence of the stories to condone real-world violence by ourselves. Another interesting aspect of the story of Esther is the holiday of Purim that is established. That holiday celebrates not the bloody victory of the Jewish people, but rather the people's relief of no longer being under mortal threat. And because of that, the remembrance of that relief engenders generosity, and the holiday is established specifically to practice charity to those in need, and it still exists to this very day. Some present-day concerns, of course, that arise when we read through the book of Esther is, first and foremost, the act of genocide. Genocide has existed throughout all modern history, and that, unlike in this story, many times has been chillingly successful in these attempts of ethnic annihilation. Now, one thing to think about as you're hearing this story is to compare what's going on during the time of Esther with what many of us experienced in the 20th century with the German genocide. And this question comes to mind. If 20th century Gentiles had followed the example of the Book of Esther's Persian population and had chosen to side with the Jews and the other persecuted populations early and boldly, then perhaps the massacres of the Third Reich may not have occurred. So, as we're reading through the story, allow that to settle on your heart and then relate it to today and things we may be being quiet about and undercover, where other populations of people are being hurt and even killed by the powers that be. Another interesting topic for today will be gender equality, of course. This is the Book of Esther in a Bible that is full of patriarchal influence and hierarchical, male-dominated political and social systems. Here Esther stands forward. And until this point and beyond, it's really hard to find in the Bible, perhaps even in our culture today, a view of full personhood for women. Full personhood. Rather than a female worth being measured by, for instance, in this story, how much women please men. And that even despite Esther's superior political abilities, nevertheless, the final power rests in the hands of the powerful males. Interesting to note that on this particular day, when we have a African-American woman vice presidential candidate participating in a debate against a white male vice presidential candidate. Just a couple other things about this book, and then we'll let you go today. As I said, the book rests on two earlier stories in Hebrew tradition that have kind of come together. There's the tale of Esther becoming queen, and then there's a tale of Haman and Mordecai and this palace intrigue between the second in command and a bold and vocal Jew who stands up against the views of the empire. And those two stories are brought together in Esther. We think the setting for the story is somewhere around 486 to 465 BC, because that's the reign of the Persian king Ahasuerus. So even though it may not have actually happened or may not have even been written during that time, that is the setting of this post-exilic story of Esther. and her Jewish identity, which is actually, as you'll find out, is kept secret for much of the story. And so one final note. This book will not even mention the name of God. So don't keep waiting for it. It won't come. It has a much more secular and even nationalistic appeal, characterized by post-exilic Judaism, a quite secular tone. As the Jews begin to transition themselves from a view of being chosen people of God to a view of being the only people chosen by God. And this is the kind of story that, even if not directly and even unintentionally perhaps, leads to this mindset of the Jews throughout history, that indeed they are exalted and favored by God. They are the only people who are given this special place in the world today. And there aren't others who are the same as them. When in fact today, when we look at the story of the Jews, we realize that all along God was teaching them that while they are chosen by God, all people indeed are chosen by God. So you can see if that mindset comes into play in this wonderful book of Esther. So I'll leave that for the introduction. We'll talk again tonight on our Zoom meeting at 7 p.m. Central. The link to the meeting is attached to this email with this recording. And tomorrow, we begin reading the book of Esther. But until then, let's bear in mind, this is our middle Sabbath. So let us give this day to God. Amen.